Do you like to be the first? Name of your sex tape? Well, if you like to be the first to listen to podcasts, you might want to check out our Patreon, because now we're offering a brand new membership tier called Name of Your Sex Tape. I couldn't help it, guys. I'm sorry. For £5 a month, you'll get an ad-free version of our weekly episode on a Tuesday, a full day earlier than its usual release. So you can be the very first to talk about how funny our guest was, how quickly you cracked the case, or how badly I answered a question. Plus, you'll get all the benefits of our regular tier, including our live Zoom records, a special shout out on the podcast, and if you really like to hear us talk, we've got an entire back catalog of extra content. Check it out on patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime.
Name of your sex tape. Name of your sex tape.
Name of your sex tape.
Fancy coming along to see Drunk Women Solving Crime live?
Ooh, yes, please.
Why not join us for our monthly London residency at the marvellous Museum of Comedy? We've got monthly shows through to June.
Plus, every show is a double header, so you get to see us record not one, but two episodes with two fantastic guests.
You can find tickets on our website, drunkwomensolvingcrime.com.
Shows are selling out fast, so be quick.
Noice.
Noice.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Is Drunk Women Solving Crime. My name's Katie Wilkins and I'm an author and comedian. I'm joined by screenwriter Hannah George.
Hello.
And writer-comedian Taylor Glenn.
Hello.
This is where brandy meets bludgeoning, mimosa meets misdemeanor, and port meets prostitution. It's a true crime podcast with a twist of lime. Coming up on Drunk Women Solving Crime.
They're all dead now because Katie is bringing these people down.
Just disrespected a lot of history.
I'm sorry. This podcast is actually killing me.
You will know the name
Lorne Michaels.
Now it's time for Drunk Women Solving Crime.
Welcome to another episode of Drunk Women Solving Crime. I am your host, Katie Wilkins, aka Detective Sasshole, and we are joined by a fantastic guest this week. It's a comic, it's a writer, a lovely person, a blazer wearer, it's Celia AB!
Hello! It is lovely being here. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us, Celia.
I'm so glad to be part of the force.
You should really lead with blazer wearer.
Blazer wearer.
That's a first.
It's really hard to say. That's what I like about it. It's just a blur.
Blair Witch Trial?
The Blair Witch Trial.
I crushed it though, right?
Yeah, you smashed it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
First smash fest.
I'm going to buy blazers straight
away. I can say blazer. Welcome to the force.
Detective Blazer.
We have one question. Have you ever been the victim of a crime?
I am so glad you asked.
Good.
Yes, I have. And I'm here to seek revenge.
Oh, excellent.
Should I tell you the story?
Yes, please. I'm loving the early Kill Bill vibes.
So the year is 2017.
Okay.
I live in South Birmingham at this time.
Okay.
And I am waiting for a bus, as
Ooh.
One is. I'm waiting for my bus, listening to my favorite podcast, having the time of my life.
Yeah.
I get on the bus, leave, get home. And when I get home, I realize somebody's nicked my credit cards.
Oh, no.
At that bus stop.
Mm. Oh, no.
So I go into my online banking, and I originally go to cancel my card
yeah.
or freeze it. But then I realize that they've used my card, and I can see the transactions.
Oh. Ooh.
And they went to a Wetherspoons next to the bus stop.
Oh,
oh my God.
No.
And they spent £33.
And a Wetherspoons.
At a Wetherspoons. And I think they bought shares or something.
Take that, Wetherspoons. You've been banned.
And I could see that the transaction was about an hour ago.
Oh my God.
I lived 10 minutes away.
Ooh.
So I did what anyone else would do, which is I headed to their Wetherspoons.
Nice.
Yes. I'm walking in. I leave my house. And at this point as well, I was, I'd already taken a lot of my makeup off, but not all of it. So I looked insane.
Oh, I love it.
And I just
blended in the Wetherspoons.
Yeah.
Woman so, Joker. This is great.
Yes. Excellent vigilante. I love this origin story.
So I get to the Wetherspoons. And then I asked the bartender, I said, somebody's used my card, it's £33, can you see the transaction? Smart. and he goes, he says, that's insane that you're doing this. So he'll just freeze your card, what are you doing?
And you have a cricket bat behind the bar.
He's a very judgy barman for the Wetherspoons.
Yeah, he was my first suspect for that reason.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Then he eventually told me, well, there's a transaction there, it's for a bottle of wine and some food. And then starts the first and last investigation.
Detective Blazer. On the case.
And so I basically went table to table.
Oh my God, Celia.
Wow.
I didn't ask anyone. I didn't go like, you look like you like wine. I just kind of like was looking over to see like maybe an empty plate, an empty bottle.
Anything that matches.
Were you doing mental maths? Like, that looks like about £33.
Yeah. So, do you know in like Black Mirror, sometimes they're like, they have the price would show up the next
Ding.
And I go table to table and I can't find the person. So I leave the Wetherspoons and it felt like, do you know in films when sometimes they'll have like that montage of someone getting to the airport for somebody, but then it turns out that that person left 2 hours ago, but you found that, like in the Batman, there's a scene like that.
Okay.
That's exactly what it was like. I think that I got there with all the energy in the world, dressed as the Joker.
Yeah.
What ended up happening is that scene from the Batman, which is very fitting.
That is quite good. At least it was artistically fitting.
Yeah.
Even if it was disappointing.
Yeah. And then I cancelled my card.
Love that you didn't cancel it immediately.
Oh, God, no.
I'll do this first, actually.
I was like, I'm going to leave it, keep it going.
I actually didn't realize that. That's a great detail. I've got to get him first.
Yeah, I was transferring money from my savings account onto my current
account. Keep the trail going.
It's like 4 years down the line.
Yeah, I'll find them.
They're in Cuba.
Right, that's it. They've slipped up. I'm following them to Cuba.
Oh my gosh.
Can I ask, what was your plan if you had found them?
Yes.
I did not think that far ahead.
Okay.
I'm not good at confrontation, but I probably would have said something like mad, like, please, can I have my card back? Yeah. Don't mess with me, because I'll say please.
She's unhinged.
Brutal.
To be fair, if someone with half their makeup taken off said anything to you, you'd be like, yes.
Have my card.
Here you go.
Yeah. Also, the fucking gall of the person to, like, you know, take some or find some credit cards. Do you think you dropped them, or do you think they sort of pickpocketed them?
This is such a... vulnerable thing to say, but I'm very bad with, like, I keep my phone and everything very out, like, I was in Zara and the security guy had to be like, your phone's out, like,
okay.
But that's because I'm so used to having stuff, like, my phone is it's not a good phone.
Okay.
So I'm the same with my credit card, like, there's £30 on it, like,
right, okay. Like,
it's not a good spending limit, so
no.
Just leave it.
Yeah.
I don't have an overdraft.
So there was an opportunist. There's like, I've taken a hot date to the Wetherspoons. Cha-ching.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to go for a sit-down meal next to where you...
With the scene of the crime.
It's crazy.
I mean, what's interesting... In the bus, they think, well, she'll be long gone on the bus before she even sees this.
Yeah, they don't know you get the bus a 10-minute walk. Be bothered to bend
local
over to
crime.
Pick up the credit card she's dropped. Oh, she's not coming back.
We're not in trouble. She can't fight.
Yeah.
But I think it's it makes sense to me that they would go to the Wetherspoons next to the bus stop, because they always say that, like, the murderers always shows up to the scene of the crime.
To watch the... Yeah. Yes.
It's always the one that found
with
the
a body. Big camera.
That's
yeah,
so
and
true.
A bottle of wine from Wetherspoons.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, we always ask everybody on this podcast, what would you say if you had the perp? Like, what? So I don't know if it would be like they're now in custody or you actually got to confront them in the Wetherspoons, but what would you say to them?
I would probably... I mean, like, I think I would say something really deep, like, if you have to think. But really, realistically, I would be like, oh, thank you. I think I would turn it into a memory of that time I took a lovely family out for food.
Yeah, that's such reframe it.
Yeah,
it's a good deed.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably be very much like, oh, thanks for looking after my card.
For keeping it warm.
Yeah, you were good lads. Thank you. It still works. Yeah, it still works.
Yeah, it was good to keep the economy going. Yeah.
I did that though. Like, I had a similar thing where I dropped my card in like the Odeon Leicester Square toilets, and I hadn't noticed, obviously, and then I went back to look for it and it had gone. And then by the time, because it was actually Toby's card, it was my boyfriend's card, it wasn't mine at all. I just borrowed his card because I was like, I'm going to get some sweets and I haven't got my card.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just borrowed his and then lost it. And then we looked on our account and like, they'd gone straight to Burger King in Leicester Square. Like, wow. That's where they'd gone straight away. So it's kind of interesting that thing of,
straight away going for food.
Although he said that he thought it was that people like try it out immediately. They try it out the nearest place and go, does this card work?
That makes sense.
Is this just how this man gets rid of his cards on the floor of women's toilets? Or like, you know, his old cards?
Some people shred them. Yeah. Some people.
It's like a million, an eccentric millionaire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let the peasants play.
I mean, yeah, because both of those buying food kind of makes you feel a bit more like, well, I guess they were hungry for a bottle of wine as well, but like, let them have a treat. Like,
I'm always hungry for wine though.
So hungry for wine, even when I'm drinking it. You're feeding the world.
Exactly. Yeah, that was some of my charity work.
Yeah, I kind of like that reframe.
Yeah,
I think we solved it.
You very nearly solved it yourself. I love the fact you went vigilante on it. That's great.
I really do.
There's, I'm very much like, I'll have bursts of like, I'm a brave person. I'm brave. I can do whatever I want. And then the second I'm confronted with it, I'm like, I'm a shy person.
Oh man, that's me every day. With every task.
Oh my gosh. I'm a shepherd. There is one hole in your story, which is you were listening to your favorite podcast in 2017, and I'm not sure we had even started yet.
We did not exist.
I don't think there were any podcasts before 2018.
I was listening to the old school BBC radio.
Oh,
England as England. We now go to Vichy. I think I was listening to 2017 podcast. What was that like? That was just after Brexit.
Yeah, right? it was a bleak landscape, actually. Yeah.
2017.
Yeah. That's when I started listening to the Irish podcast. No, the Irish Passport.
Passport podcast.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a really good podcast about social, political and economic issues affecting Ireland, because loads of people in the UK did not know anything about Ireland. And then loads of people obviously tried to get Irish passports to stay in the EU.
Mm. I was going to say, you did that, right?
And I did that.
Did you think it was a step-by-step guide? How can I make the most of this Irish grandparent?
The address is...
But like, I really need to know how to fill in the forms.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you get one in the end?
Yeah, well, because I am... I do. I'm from...
This is awesome.
This is you in the meeting with the Home Office.
I swear, I'm Irish.
I am Irish. My
maternal grandmother. You only have to have one grandparent to get an Irish. And my mum's mum came from Ireland.
Oh, it's just one, is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's one of the easier, quote unquote, ones to get. Let's maybe edit that out, because I don't want Ireland to think that I'm...
You don't want everyone doing it. Now you've got yours. Bring up the drawbridge.
Everyone already did do it.
You calling us easy?
Now it's time for drunk women solving crime.
Good times.
Before we get too distracted with political turmoil, let me tell you about a crime.
Yay! Yes, please. I mean, you know.
No. Oh, terrible.
Not another one.
Let me tell you a tale about a poorly educated man from Kentucky who goes on to trick people into doing something.
Hmm.
His name is Philip Arnold, and before he became a grifter, he was a hatter's apprentice.
Oh, okay.
A hatter's apprentice?
Yes.
Like as in hats?
Yeah, as in making hats.
Oh.
But he gave all that up to enlist in a war. I mean, I would have stayed making hats. but my first question is, which war did he enlist in?
Ooh, which war did they have the most fabulous hats?
The war against drugs.
Excellent. Yes.
Great hats. A lot of just say no caps.
Really stealing focus.
I'm going to go with the American Civil War.
Okay. So it's excellent Kentucky. Choice.
Oh, yeah. Otherwise, it's like the Second World War. But as we know, America joined in like 1960. So,
okay. Let it go, guys. We had an impact.
I'm going to go. Do you know what? I feel like the Second World War, people were always wearing hats, right? There was still a big hat thing.
Okay.
So I'm saying Second World War.
Okay, none of you are correct, but Taylor is the closest. It was actually the Mexican-American War.
Oh.
Which went from 1846 to 1848 after the US 1845 annexation of Texas. I'm sure you all were very familiar with that before I quoted it at you.
Yes.
And
I can perfectly picture my history teacher as I was busy not really paying attention to this whole thing, but I could like imitate him. And so I took something away from it.
Yeah. I have to do impressions of teachers.
Well, his voice was great. He'd go like, Santa Ana. A lot went down in Santa Ana.
Can you say cup of Joe with that voice?
I start every morning with a cup of Joe.
Oh, yes.
His wife was the gym teacher. They were quite a pair.
Oh, I loved a married couple at school.
Wow. No, and she came right up to his dick. Like, no exaggeration. She was the tiniest woman in the world, and he was so tall. And we're like,
She came right up to his
What first
gym.
Attracted you to the
women
incredibly
can have it all.
Wow.
I'm sorry.
While he was failing to teach you about the Mexican-American War, sorry.
Nobody expected a woman at dick level on the back of that, Katie. There's no good way to handle that.
I can't not picture the crankies.
Now, there's some hats. And we're back.
Okay, now, after this war finishes in 1848, he does not go back to Kentucky to the hats. He thinks he's better than hats. My question is, where does he go instead?
So he doesn't go back to Kentucky at all?
He will eventually go back, but he goes somewhere else. For now.
No, we know he's going to
Canada.
Canada.
Okay.
Where would you go?
That's a good guess.
Yeah. First season of Degrassi. That was
nice. I'm just thinking, where would you go? If he's planning to swindle, or does he fall into that? Who knows?
Yeah,
because I'd probably stick with Kentucky.
But he'd go to Canada because everyone's so nice. They'd be like, "Yes, I'll have the hat with no top." I'm just assuming what these things are he's done.
Actually, maybe he stayed in Mexico. No, can you stay?
That would be interesting.
Good guess as well.
Anything between Canada and Mexico.
He's somewhere in the region. Got it. Yeah.
I think he might go I think he's come to England. I think if you are gullible idiots, you come to Boris Johnson's England.
Yeah.
And he really has been in that long. It really does feel like it.
It really does.
Oh my gosh. I'm going to say he went to South America. He just kept going.
Okay.
Nice.
He went to Brazil.
Well, none of you are quite there. He goes to California.
To make it in the movie business.
To pursue acting.
Well, you would think that, but he's actually elected to be a part of the big gold rush of 1849.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
The 49ers.
Yeah. And, you know, while he's there, he probably gets a house in Malibu. I don't know. But my question is he successful at gold rushing?
I guess you're probably not
successful at gold rushing if your story begins with, and he swindled lots of people.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
I'm going to say no.
Actually, okay. Could he be successful because of his swindling?
Ah, yeah.
Someone's watched The Wolf of Wall Street.
Invaluable training video for the force.
We should all get a medal if we made it through the entire Wolf of Wall Street. It's the longest fucking film.
And I watched it 3 times.
Did you? You big fan?
I just have a thing with rewatching films. I find it very comforting.
I get that.
Yeah. Just like I can be on my phone with something in the background. It's great.
In the cinema.
Yeah.
You're on. Say this.
Yeah. It's really comforting that he does it again. Sell me this pen.
Interesting. Because I feel like I like to think that he got really successful and got the gold.
Mm-hmm.
And then he decided to invest that in his swindling business.
Okay.
Because when we were watching, Amanda and I watched The Canoe Man last night on ITV, Man thing. And there's something about those kind of people who, even if they're successful at something and get some money for something, they're like, what's the next thing? What's the next thing?
Because he was like,
right, hats. Now I'm a soldier. Now I'm in California. Yeah. This guy is wild.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he's done that.
Interesting.
He's done The Canoe Man is what I'm saying.
You know what? I'm going to give it to you.
Oh, wow.
Psychologically, I feel like you've got the measure of this guy. He's like Hamilton. He can never be satisfied. So he is successful.
Oh, wow.
Initially.
All right. Well he's done, you two.
He's grafting away. He's not like doing brilliantly, but he is successful enough to be able to return to Kentucky, buy a farm, get married and start a family. But where are the hats? And so far, so basically law abiding. I mean, are wars ever legal? But he, in 1870, he returns to California again. And he takes a job as a miner and a prospector. And he's with his cousin, John Slack. And
these names are just always great.
Yeah. John Slack.
Never seen a harder worker than John Slack.
Always responds to things very quickly and efficiently.
There was literally... Actually, no, I can't say it because someone's real name.
He used to work for a slack factory, just like I worked for a hattery. And now look at us.
Now we're hats and slack.
Now we're gold diggers.
So, skullduggery is afoot.
Uh-oh.
And their plan is...
Oh, I thought it was another bloke, skullduggery afoot.
He's really like skulls, that's so weird. They've got this fiendish plan about diamonds.
They
do is they've obtained some industrial grade diamonds from their friend James B. Cooper, who was an assistant bookkeeper for the Diamond Drill Company of San Francisco, which is handy. And also, what's his name, used to work for them as well. And they get some rubies and sapphires from some Native Americans in Arizona, and they mix them all together.
I'm sure it was a very fair deal.
Yes, I'm sure it was.
Also, how did they get these diamonds from it? It's like, he works there, so. But, you know, like, if you work at, like, Subway, you maybe get a free Subway at the end of the day.
At best, you get a 10% discount.
Free diamond.
They just get a handful of diamonds.
Just worrying me. Mates. Yeah, yeah. Be back in a minute.
I'm texting your housemate. Does anyone want diamonds?
Yeah. I can bring some home if you want. I'm thinking of leaving this job anyway.
I'm
going
to get a sandwich and a drink and some diamonds. They turn up at the office of a George D. Roberts. Now, he was the sort of businessman that one of my, well, the newspapers described as prominent at the time, but one of my sources said that translated to moving fast and not asking too many questions.
Oh,
that's how I like my men.
So that's him. And now, so Arnold and Slack turn up one night at Roberts's office in San Francisco. They look weather-beaten and they're clutching a small leather bag, and they said the inside was something of great value, which they were going to deposit in the Bank of California, except it was too late to do that now. Now, this is some classic grifting right here. So they feigned a reluctance to talk about what was in the bag, which was, of course, very intriguing. And then they eventually...
They went to him.
Yes. They've turned up at his office.
And gone,
like,
oh, yeah, just not going to say anything about this, actually.
Got a bag, don't ask me about it.
Yeah, literally.
It's like your friend on... Not your friend, one's friend on Facebook. Oh, I'm fuming. Don't even ask me about it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay. But they...
This old thing.
Yeah. What? Why do you keep looking at it? I'm not going to talk about it.
My eyes are up here.
Yeah. Yeah, get your eyes off the sack of, oh, I won't, nearly said what was in it. I think eventually Arnold sort of muttered, he let slip the words rough diamonds, but they were, you know, sort of very vague about the territory they found it in. But Roberts is hooked.
Love so, dropping that into convo, just rough diamonds.
Yeah, yeah, rough diamonds.
Rough diamonds. I've never heard that in like a reference to an actual diamond before. No. I literally just thought it was like you'd say that about a person, like yeah, yeah. a rough diamond.
Oh, I think yeah. diamond in the rough.
It's, yeah, I didn't well, realise it was a real thing.
Well,
so
it does mean that as well, they but cut then it. It's like...
You, but it comes from this, like...
Yeah, because it's like found a pre, in the ground.
Pre-circumcised
so it's pre-circumcised diamond. It's a Gentile diamond.
Okay.
Have the diamond bris and...
Arnold was quoted in a paper later as saying he was, that Roberts was very much elated by discovery and they wanted to find out more. And also one of my other sources described Arnold as, because he was a liar himself, he was very intuitive at how other people would react to his fiction so he could play each person and work out what they needed to hear to, you know, is this a reverse psychology guy? Is this this guy? He can play everybody.
They're all shady equals.
Yes. Mm. And it's a very shady business, actually. Mm. Like, no one comes out of this. Well, actually, there's one person at the end, but we'll get to that. So what they do is they... He works out the way to play Roberts, and he says to Roberts, all right, fine, you know, we've got rough-cut diamonds, but you have to promise, to swear an oath of silence. Don't tell anybody that we've got these diamonds. And can
pinky
we,
swear.
Pinky swear.
That's so cute.
And then,
really ironclad.
Will you promise?
And then, you know, we'll leave them in your office, and we're, you know, then we'll take them to the bank, so we trust you. Don't tell anyone. Here's the diamonds.
Can you just take diamonds to the bank?
Yeah, because you take them to, like, a vault, or... I don't know, actually. Like, now, they'd probably be, like, some kind of money laundering issue, but
yeah, I haven't been to a bank in ages now that I think about it.
No questions.
Try a diamond next time. Yeah. That'd be great.
Is that what's going on now? Everyone's
I want to put this in the vault.
Yeah, I'd like to deposit.
Hello there, Vanessa. I would like to put this 4-carat diamond into my account.
Can I deposit this rough diamond?
it's my personality. It's just, I'm a bit fun.
Can you change this into baby diamonds?
Okay, so my question is, what did George D. Roberts do next? He's been asked to swear an oath of silence. What's his next move?
He does not stay silent.
Does not stay silent.
He did not throw the key away.
He did not throw the key away.
He first thing he did, he told someone at work.
Okay, told someone at work.
Told maybe some another shady character.
Or it was like a kind of like a tea lady who just tells everyone everything.
Yeah. It's like, oh, Susan.
Why did you tell loose lip Lizzie that she...
she sounds great.
Yeah. You know, she's a real mom. You don't know anything
stories.
About anyone.
Yeah.
It'd be a great logo for tea as well.
Loose lip Lizzie.
You drinking some triple L? Mm. Yeah.
Did you tell her about your divorce?
Yeah.
Wish I hadn't.
Loose lip Lizzie.
Yeah.
She doesn't care about your personal stories. No, she does.
We won't imagine her with curly hair, right? Yeah. Like, really?
Next. You guys are all correct.
oh, my God!
Well, especially about Loose Lip Lizzie. That was uncanny. But he could not keep a secret. He immediately starts running that mouth of his.
That is classic him, that.
That is classic him. Yeah. And he tells William C. Ralston, who's the founder of the Bank of California, someone called William Lent and a General George S. Dodge. Now these...
Dodge and Slack.
Really? It's so great. Never worked with anybody more reputable than
General
G. Dodge.
Why was this business so shady? I can't work it out.
It's great. If someone with half of that name had me on Facebook, I would say that's a shady character.
Yeah. Is this real?
Mr. S. Dodge.
Is this a play? These men put together an offer to buy out Philip Arnold and his cousin Jack Slack in the patch of land, and they give them a $50,000 down payment. So my question is, what do Arnold and Slack do next?
Oh, wow. So they've shown them those diamonds and said, yes, this is from our patch.
Yeah.
And well, I guess we could sell you the patch if you
want. Yeah, so they've not even offered to sell the patch. These men have offered to buy the patch, and they've given a $50,000 deposit.
What do you mean a patch? What's like, a patch?
Yeah. The land, like the claim of land. And the gold rush, you know, everyone was like buying up and then hoping for.
Is it 50,000 like at the time or 50,000 now?
50,000 at the time.
Okay.
Ooh.
I think. Mm. Yeah, it must be.
I mean, that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
As a deposit as well.
Now I'm worried that's now, but I'm pretty sure it's then.
Also, that feels non-refundable. Like,
yeah.
I wouldn't refund that.
I thought I'd like those rough cut diamonds, but I really don't, actually. It's just not me.
I feel like they're going to take the deal, but they're going to try to one-up this guy. It feels like this is going to be a...
Yeah.
Who's fooling who here?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Maybe they're going to like, do you know how... I've heard that sometimes you buy drugs.
Nice cover, and then, yeah.
And then I saw that in the documentary once.
I think I saw that documentary.
And that sometimes they cut with other stuff, and maybe that's why they tried cutting diamonds with like plexiglass or something.
Oh,
or like,
okay.
It's like when you have like lighter cheese, but it's like cheese and water.
Right.
That for diamonds.
Oh shit! Is that what that is?
I think it is. I didn't Google it, but I looked at it and I thought that's cheese and water.
Yes, it's like when ham says no added water. And I'm like, well, no.
When were we adding water?
Yeah. I'd like a cup of ham water, please.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, that sounds quite nice. Stiller
sparkling.
Oh my god.
Yikes.
Try it.
Try anything once. I'm going to tell you what Arnold and Slack do next. They take a trip to England.
I said they would.
You did.
Oh, psychic.
Lads on tour.
Lads on tour. They're real Anglophiles. They just always fancied it. Where they took in Big Ben.
Tourist montage.
Yeah,
they did. Baby.
They did. They tried to find where Notting Hill was filmed. And
I love that. Of all the films, that's quite easy.
Yeah. In Camberwell, like, is it? No.
Don't. And so they used the money to go to England, and while there, they acquired additional uncut gems valued at around $20,000. And they used assumed names. They're not stupid. So Arnold was Arndell.
Jack Snack.
And Slack used his middle name, which was Bertram.
Oh, bless him.
And then they came back to America with all the Marmite and Hobnobs they could carry.
All these new gems.
And all these new gems. So my question now is, what did they do with these new gems?
It's weird because if they're like, they seem that these gems are legit, which sort of seems like a weird swindle in a way.
Yeah.
If you could afford to buy it, come to England, buy a massive bag of gems.
Yeah.
And then like...
Oh, but the exchange rate was insane back then. It was great.
I guess
you know when you're at the airport and before you leave, you're like, does anybody want some gems? I've quit, thank you.
They're duty free.
I'm sorry, they've got
their eyes on a
Taylor's actually getting a bit emotional.
This podcast is actually killing me.
Drunk women solving crime.
Oh, hi. It's me, Kim Cattrall, best known for Sex and the City, the good version, not the menopausal one. I'm here to shout out the latest patrons to join the force. Force. We haven't felt the supported since they started putting Lycra in bras. Here goes. And if you'd like to see what's behind the curtain, check out patreon.com/drunkwomensolvingcrime. First up, Jenny Kampf. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right either way. Alex Kennedy. Kennedys. Then we've got Anne, Catherine, Amna, Sasha. So mysterious with just the first names, ladies. I like secrets. And Kit Kat. Did I ever tell you about the time I used a Kit Kat in foreplay? It was fabulous, until the ants got to us. We were in Bali. Catherine Cotton Betteridge. I love a double barrel. Anna Troberg, Victoria Galinda. I got nothing, but thanks, gals. And finally, Georgie P. P.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, I'm wondering if there's a bit of a switcheroo that these become the like display gems, and then they do a quick like
the cut glass.
We're keeping it in velvet because it doesn't like the light. It's very light sensitive. There you go. Is it like a switcheroo operation?
Okay, I hear you. Yeah. Any other guesses to that?
I'm just imagining Adam Sandler. Absolutely, because Uncut Gems is a great movie for Adam Sandler. If you can believe it. He does a sort of similar thing. So I'm imagining for some reason Adam Sandler. In England, selling these uncut gems. Yeah.
But then the gems would have a different accent.
Yeah.
Very true.
I think the switcheroo is a good guess, I would say.
Okay. So two for switcheroo. Any advanced kind of draws?
I'm going to go switcheroo as well.
Okay. None of you have quite got it. They do two things with these gems. Number one, they hide some of them at the new site to be quote unquote discovered.
Oh, wow. They bury them. That's amazing.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Number two, they sent some back to San Francisco as further proof to Roberts and his band of rich, greedy marks. I don't get why they had to send them more gems. Like, play hard to get, lads. Like, they've already got the first gems. It's like, you know, they said they wanted to option your sitcom. Play it cool. Yeah, whatever you do, send the production company more gems.
This has reminded me of when we were little and we'd go up and see my granddad in Nottingham. He'd bury potatoes in his garden that we'd then dig up and think we'd like dug up these amazing potatoes.
Wow.
And we obviously didn't realise that potatoes had like the green stuff coming out of the top of it, and they're not just...
That's so lovely.
I know, it's sweet, isn't it? So I'm actually really team
my family used to do. My family did the same thing but with body parts. That's really
wouldn't
sweet.
Wouldn't it be amazing if archaeologists like that's what it was like other generations would be like, I'm just gonna hide this temple. And we're gonna make them think they found it.
Oh my gosh, the greatest...
To the archaeologist's children.
Yeah. Well done, you.
The greatest scandal ever uncovered.
That would be amazing.
There's a note that says, come to the kitchen, there's chocolate.
Mummy, the ancient Romans had chocolates.
And a Freddo for 13p. Yeah.
So they sent some of them back to the... and in the meantime, Ralston, one of the people that's in on the deal, the one that founded the California Bank,
okay,
he sent a sample of these gems to New York City. Mm. And my question is, who did he send them to? And you will know the name.
Lorne Michaels.
You're hired. Very sharp. That's hilarious. Was it a Rockefeller?
Excellent guess.
Oh, because they are like rocks, aren't they, diamonds?
That is very...
And you might think, I know who's like this. Someone with a little play on their name.
Jack
Slack. Or is it Anne Diamond from Blue Peter?
Is there like a Mr. Head of the Banks of New York or something?
I mean, you're in the right... Like, you have heard of this, and you know this.
President? Was it a president?
No.
Was it Woody Woodrow?
They were getting the samples checked to make sure they were...
Yes.
Okay. Mr. Tiffany?
Yes!
Oh!
It was. They sent the gems to Charles Louis Tiffany.
I said Mr. Tiffany, having no idea if that was a surname or not. Like, was it named after his daughter, like Wendy's? Or
No, it really is a surname.
Okay.
Let me give you some
Mr.
quick
Tiffany.
Fun facts about Mr. Charles Louis Tiffany. He founded Tiffany's in 1837. He created the country's first retail catalogue, and he introduced the English standard of sterling silver in imported jewellery in 1851. And he's an all-round fun guy, I'm assuming.
Never knew about that family at all. That's really interesting.
Yeah. Huh. Mr. Tiffany.
He would be the guy you want to send him to, then.
Yeah. You would think,
Now
right?
I understand why they it's not plexiglass, right? Now I understand. Yeah. It's like, you have to have the good stuff.
Imagine how nervous you'd be, like, Mr. Tiffany has our plexiglass right now.
So can you just send anything to Mr. Tiffany?
Why?
This is a sandwich.
Here's some ham water.
Can you please tell us what it's made of?
Just, yeah, send your latest boyfriend.
Do you think there's something in this?
Yeah. Is this real love?
Is this valuable?
Is this worth pursuing?
It's just my audition tape. This is...
Validate me.
My name is Jack Stack, and this is my...
I'm 5'6", and I live in Kentucky. Thank you. Know a lot about hats. Yeah. And this is me doing it in a big hat. And
I can say 4 words in Spanish from the war.
I have PTSD, I believe. This is my audition.
PTS Diamond.
What a great name for a diamond company. PTS Diamonds. That's so great. Oh my God. Oh my God. For engagement rings where they broke it off. Yes. PTS Diamonds.
PTS Diamonds.
Yeah, you can get a steal at so someone excited. Else's broken dreams. Cast jewelry.
You can see right, it as an SNL sketch of like Kate McKinnon. Welcome to PTS Diamonds.
Yes, please. Kate, if you're listening, come on the podcast and you can use that for free.
This is how you get in touch with her, actually.
Yeah. I always speak directly into my mic and to people.
Lorne Michaels, if you're still alive from 1875, then, you know, we're interested.
All right, my next question is, what does Charles Lewis Tiffany do next?
Oh, jeez.
So he receives it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, what do...
Come on.
Does he ever... Oh, wow.
Oh, sorry. I just was really sure one of you would say breakfast.
Didn't even go there.
Oh, that was so cute.
Well, I'll say, what about... I don't know.
Would he have any way... Would he have any way of knowing that they're different regionally? And would that be an issue?
Oh,
would that prove that they had...
That is an excellent question, and it will come up later.
Yes.
Oh, so maybe he goes, does he take the deal? Does he say, these are great, well done, hot man?
Actually, kind of, yeah. What he does is he actually highly overvalues them.
Whoa! Overvaluing diamonds, it triggers me, I'm sorry.
That's okay. My type of man.
Yes.
Rookie mistake.
She's amazing.
Is that because he gets a commission? That cannot be how it works, or nobody has ever been honest about this ever.
Yeah,
Four million.
I think he just makes a mistake. I think he possibly gets overexcited. I'm not quite sure, but because these, as we know, they bought them for 20,000.
He gets
his
rocks off.
They buried some of them, so they have. This isn't even all of the 20,000. So they've been sent some of the 20,000 worth. And he says that they're worth 150,000, which is not what the con men paid for them.
I sort of feel like there's some kind of like they just went into some shop on the Isle of Wight or something. I sometimes feel like you could buy something from
like an
antique shop on the Isle of Wight and find out it's like £1 million
because someone
doesn't know. So
yeah.
I don't know if the mistake starts with the person in England.
But maybe they had it too low.
Yeah, that they bought it for 20,000 and maybe it was worth 150.
That's good, yeah. Do you know, I hadn't even thought of that. That's a good point.
Although this checks out with Tiffany's pricing scheme, I'd say. it started there.
He overvalues them, and then he sets up a meeting at the Madison Avenue home of attorney Samuel Barlow to solicit additional investors, and then there's a whole new bunch of people whose names you can laugh at if you like. There's George B. McClellan.
All right.
He's some kind of war hero politician in New Jersey.
Well, thank God we didn't laugh at his name. War hero.
Well, usually you should start with war hero. War hero, Jimmy McGee, blibby. Make sure to not laugh at blibby.
All right. This guy's a war hero, but his name is Benjamin Franklin Butler. So he's not the real Benjamin Franklin. He's just named after him.
Okay.
And there's someone called...
Was he Benjamin Franklin's butler? That
would be a fun job. Probably awful job.
But he did have a butler, and then he would be Benjamin Franklin Butler's butler.
Golly. It's a very Handmaid's Tale, isn't it?
And someone called Horace Greeley, who... may or may not be a war hero. I didn't write it down. Now,
Well, thank you for your service.
That's an entire lifetime.
But also, being a war hero at this point just means nicking Texas from Mexico. It's not
Yeah. Right.
I mean that they're still heroes, I'm sure. But anyway...
Thank God they're all dead now, because Katie is bringing these people down.
Just disrespected a lot of history. So, the conmen now have an additional $100,000 from the new investors, and then Philip Arnold takes this money, he goes back to London, he stocks up on hobnobs, and he gets another $8,000 worth of uncut gems, and he sends it back again to keep their attention. And honestly, seriously, guys, just let your script speak for itself. You know, you're in the bag. It doesn't matter who's attached, it totally does. Now,
Vaughn absolutely loved PTS Diamond.
We've all got auditions for SNL.
I don't know where is the con coming in?
Oh, don't worry,
I suppose it's the fact that he fucking buried those diamonds.
Oh, you'll hear the con.
But also, like,
there's more coming.
This is the 1850s, you said. So,
yes.
So, like, yeah. Traveling between America and England must have taken so long.
Yes, it took at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, you're not just nipping over. Mm. They've earned those.
It's a long con. It's a long con. It's a long grift.
I always admire the work. I'm like, you know what? They really committed.
You could have just had a job, but yeah.
Yeah.
What do the investors eventually want to see? They've seen all these gems, but now what do they need to see?
It's like Shark Tank. They have to be. What are you going to do with it? So they've seen the gems.
Yeah. What could be next if they want to acquire the land? What do they need?
Well, they're going to have to inspect the land. They haven't even done that yet?
No.
Wow.
So they need to inspect the land.
Again, that's how hard it is to travel. They're like, well, I don't want to take a wagon.
Yeah. I'll just that's send money.
Yeah, that's why I don't walk the 10 minutes.
It always comes full circle.
I don't want to go back to my car.
Spoken like a true detective. So we've got a problem now because this site doesn't really exist. They need to fake it. So
it's hard to fake land.
Yeah.
Believe me, I've tried.
They have got land.
Just gesture to the left.
They're taking
It's mine. I mean, is anybody else on it? No.
Yeah,
it's mine.
I'm that prep. Yeah.
No further questions. That's mine.
It's a franchise.
Just walking in like, all right, hello.
He's pretending he doesn't know me. It's a joke. We always do this.
We're so close.
Barry.
So, as you know, they've been burying diamonds. So they plant their diamonds on a remote location in northwest Colorado Territory.
Oh, my God.
And they lead the investors west from St. Louis in June 1872 by now. And they arrive at the town of Rawlins in the Wyoming Territory. And they continue on horseback. And they want to keep the exact location a secret. So they've kind of led the group in a confusing four-day journey through the countryside.
Yeah, they just got lost.
I mean,
and that's the story they told.
I know, that's the sat-nav. That's the sat-nav. That's the excuse I always used to use before I had a sat-nav.
I just don't want you to know the location of
Every journey was 4 days through the countryside.
It's like the fire festival.
Yes.
Yeah. It is like that.
And it's just like that.
It's just like Fire Festival.
They give him a shitty cheese sandwich.
You heard it here first.
I did the best we could. I had to blow Jack Slack. So I got sent in to blow Jack Slack. And I'm like, oh my God.
And no one had asked, but I went, I'll do it. See, lads, you want me to suck someone off, I'll do it. You didn't ask. I'm still on it.
After the 4 days, they reached the spot where they'd planted the gems, and they encouraged everyone to start digging. And
this is the potato uncle. It's the same thing.
It is.
So they didn't realize that plants grow out of real diamonds.
The investors dug. Mm-hmm. And they found stones.
Is that his name?
That's this
Investor
new guy
Doug.
They brought in.
He would never trust Investor Doug. No, really, I got money. I'm Investor Doug. Okay, Doug.
Okay, so what do you think happens? Everyone starts digging.
I mean, they have planted these.
Yeah.
I like to think that they've maybe got the wrong field, which would be quite funny. Because also, how do you, like, if you're travelling for 4 days to reach this one field and you haven't actually got a GPS, you've just got maybe sort of quite, you know, you don't have maps and stuff. Yeah. But, like, I like to think they got the wrong field and everyone pulled out their money and then they never found the field of diamonds again. It's out there and we go and find it. Road trip, anyone?
That's so good.
Okay, love it.
And then somebody found it, and they found it Kentucky Fried Chicken with it. And then...
Oh, my God, yeah. Colonel Sanders came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
With...
Descendant of... General really Dodge.
Diamond Starter.
General Dodge Chicken. No, thanks.
Yeah, I really like yours. But I have to... I wonder if they've seen a few of the diamonds, and then we're like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, here we go.
Does it go violent? Did they also plant landmines? And they're like, well, that takes care of that. Yeah. We're in a remote field starting again.
Also, like, I thought diamonds, you had to fucking mine for them.
They do, eventually.
Yeah. Right. So it's just good, because right now I'm seeing it, like, you know, when you sort of plant a seed and you just put it the finger's length down, you just put it on your finger. And
yeah, why are they believing that there's just bad diamonds sitting in Colorado
in
soil?
Like mud or something.
Yeah. Yes. It's like... Are they that dumb?
It's. I hear you.
Colonel Dumb.
I don't know. Okay, I will tell you. So they found stones in abundance for over an hour with their digging. And so the group gave Arnold and Slack $450,000 for the remainder of their rights to any future claim on the property.
Wow.
So cha-ching, back of the net, $500,000.
Oh my God.
One of my final questions now is, how long did it take for the hoax to be discovered?
And this isn't even their land, right? Like, this is just, like, public land. Well, I don't even know.
I'm actually not sure about that. It might be their land.
Maybe.
But then no one would know at the time, I imagine, like...
Yeah,
like,
it was very... The whole thing is super shady. I'll tell you about that in a second. How long did it take for the hoax to be discovered?
Until today.
I discovered it all.
Nice.
We're finally here to put John Stark to jail.
I also feel like they wouldn't have gone, like, that far onto the land. So all they really needed to do was, like, put some diamonds in the corner that they turn up.
I imagine it's the first time. So they bought everything, then they've put some on sale, and then some a very, like, smart lab man...
Yeah.
A scientist would be there.
Yes.
Was like, hold on, this isn't the right thing. I've overpaid for this, and then it will trickle down that way.
Yes. You get a point.
Yay.
Nice one, Blaze.
So that, like, science busts them. So basically what happens is 4 months later...
Busted by science.
Busted by the lab man.
It's so fun.
I would watch that show.
Yeah. I would.
Busted by science.
Hi, guys. Welcome to my YouTube channel. Science.
Science strikes back. So they were digging in June. The hoax is discovered in October 1872. The United States Department of the Interior sent a survey team led by a geologist, Clarence King of Yale University.
Clarence King?
Boy. Yeah.
Oh my God, I love her.
To inspect
Too late,
the site.
Baby.
And he deduced that the, again, something that Taylor said earlier as well, he deduced that the various stones were formed under very different conditions and would never be found together in a single deposit. Yay, science.
Man.
So, I mean, the lesson is don't buy gem sites unless a geologist has seen it. If I've said it once, I've said it 100 times.
Yeah. I have that hanging in my kitchen, actually.
That's a good saying.
Live life, laugh, don't bite.
Unless a geologist has seen it.
Okay.
So King concludes it's a fraud, and he goes to San Francisco to inform Ralston and the other investors that thus the great diamond hoax of 1872 was revealed. There is actually way more to the story with the science stuff, but I don't have... Like, we could go...
I mean, it's amazing.
Got,
like, yeah. It's crazy. What a hustle.
Did they have to give the money back?
No. So, basically, what's interesting about this... I'll just quickly whiz through some of the science stuff, because this is a crime story, not a
That's
science
the only
story.
Way I like my science.
But,
science.
Yeah. It's like a champion.
Happy we're on Earth.
Yes, yes. Am I wearing a mask or not?
The science part. Yes. Concentrate. So, he... the upshot was because... Right, so speculation has been shady AF, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So... Everyone's like, you know, it's very open to abuse. It's like, well, it's like gambling, basically.
And in fact, that was one of the investors, Shady AF.
Yeah. So the public aren't happy. So when this all gets exposed, the press and the public are delighted because they're like, aha. And so the government start trying to implement like rules, and everyone's really happy about the rules because so King basically dines out on this for the rest of his life. He's an instant celebrity.
Oh wow!
Science guys are
and
smoking
that doesn't
hot.
Happen to geologists a whole lot. I'm guessing. I don't know.
It's happened since then. And he so but Arnold did get
a
away with
rock
it.
Star. Oh.
That got a much better reception than he got his rocks off. Well done, Hannah George. Emmy winning.
I could see it in your face going, do I?
That is why we should do a video podcast because
yeah, she did.
We go for it.
Should I?
Yeah, should I?
All the moment.
I've got one.
All right, so Philip walked away. He left the hoax with more than $500,000. There is something, he never admitted to planting the diamonds. There was some kind of out-of-court settlement eventually.
Oh, wow.
But he did well. He bought a two-brick story house in his in Kentucky, and someone makes him hats. And he did really well. He flew too close to the sun. He tried to open a bank, and then somebody shot him, and then he died of pneumonia.
What?
Yeah. I just love it when Katie gets to the end of a case.
I know,
and like, there's no time
yeah, for it's all great. The juicy EastEnders ending.
Died of pneumonia.
It's like but the end of those like teenage high school films.
But he put all of the money and everything in his wife's name.
Aww.
Which I know, at first I thought, yay, what a feminist. But it's probably so the bank couldn't get it back off
him. Yeah.
No, he loves her.
And then the other guy, no, it is love, it's love. Her. It's love and trust. And
he's a war hero.
Became an undertaker and died on his own, age 76.
Oh, gosh, did he bury himself?
76.
Yeah.
In that,
because Arnold died at age 49. But anyway,
the same year of the gold rush, Erie.
That is the story of the Great Diamond Hoax of 1872.
That is amazing.
Yeah, cheers.
And history teacher never taught us that, or I would have paid attention. Just saying, America, if you're listening.
That would make a great film. Well, Jack Slack.
Yeah, Jack Slack in the Band of Diamonds.
Jack Black as Jack Slack.
I got a great listener crime.
This is not a real diamond.
Okay. This is from Julie.
Hi, Julie.
And she says, greetings, drunk women. I have a peach of a crime I need your help solving.
Aww.
And she's being very funny there because it's about a peach.
Yes,
crime.
Love peaches.
Okay, so she says.
Come on, Julie.
In my garden, I have an Alberta peach tree that produces luscious fruit, but far too much. Last year, half of the tree broke off because it was too heavy with fruit. This year, despite pruning, half of what was left broke off. I propped and babied the remaining quarter of the tree, checking on it daily and waiting for the fruit to ripen. I picked the first ones to ripen, enjoying the baseball-sized peaches dripping with juice. I was excited that the bulk of the fruit would be ripe.
I mean, I'm turned on. I don't know about anything else.
I feel like Roald Dahl wrote this.
This is the first chapter of James and the Giant Peach.
We should be being sponsored by peaches.
I am. I mean, I would love like a peach after hearing that. Gosh,
I want
delicious.
So imagine my surprise and despair when I went out in the morning and found that every one of the remaining peaches had been picked. I know, that is a good, correct gasp. The tree was utterly bare of fruit, but there was no sign of animals, no broken branches, no partially eaten fruit on the ground. Somebody stole dozens of peaches from a tree that sits some 50 yards down a dead-end driveway and is not visible from the street.
Oh, there's not even, like, neighbors.
Selfish and sneaky? No, but there is a list of suspects.
Oh, nice.
Okay. Oh, yes, please.
Peachy Peterson.
So she says, was it? Number one, the single young nurse who is renting an apartment from me.
Oh, she sounds
for a few
awful.
Months.
Doesn't she?
Yeah.
Doesn't she? She's single.
An she can't even get a man. Nurse.
Oh, she can get peaches though, can't she? It's her.
She's helping people for a few months while he works. Oh, it's a he.
This is one of those crazy riddles that you can't solve.
I'm turned on.
Well, the question is he still single?
Yes. He's a man with peaches.
Now it's hot.
I don't think so. Immediately off the hook.
No,
for me.
It doesn't. He sounds great.
He's a male.
Like a great guy.
Yeah.
So single young
Tell
nurse
me more
is
about him.
Yeah. He's
what kind of room size?
A nurse is too tired to pick peaches.
While he works at the local hospital, I asked him if he knew what had happened, and he seemed genuinely surprised. But I don't know him well enough to gauge if he was being straight with me. Suspect number two, my next door neighbor or his high school age son who can see the tree if they look over the fence.
He does have a certain sense of entitlement, but I've not seen him around lately.
Mm.
Number three, some rando off the street who's been watching my house waiting for the fruit to ripen and came down the driveway armed with a large basket. The last option really creeps me out, I have to say. Help me, drunk women. There'll be no peach brandy for me this year, and that's really a crime.
What was your last option again?
Some random person that knew there were peaches and staked out the house for peaches.
It sounds like being like in a gritty version of Animal Crossing.
I'm thinking, what are you going to say that like, could make this gritty?
Yeah, this is gritty.
Like, exactly. How is this a gritty version of anything?
Somebody stole those peaches.
Don't think it's the nurse, because they would have had access to as many peaches as they wanted with this overgrowing tree.
They didn't need to take all of them. No. They would have just maybe had one.
I think it's a fox.
Oh. There was no evidence of, unless it's Fantastic Mr. Fox with a master plan.
Yeah.
Animals would leave a mess. There would be like the chewed up fruit. They're not going to take it away. So if there was no evidence of that, I think it's the teenager. It's the horny teenager that saw the drippy, drippy fruit.
And wanted to recreate American Pie.
Julie, I'm sorry. We're just saying that your next door neighbor's teenager fucked your fruit tree.
Cured you of any craving.
I've got one final option.
Okay.
Ooh. It's like the Murder on the Orient Express version. They all did it. What if the nurse took some, the teenager took some, between them they were like, we're only taking a few peaches, but added up. And maybe a fox took a few as well.
Hey guys, what I heard, please don't look into my bag. There's no peaches in there. Just make sure like there's nothing. Like, what, me? It's just, I find it weird to steal peaches, right?
Yeah.
It's a weird, like.
It's like, why?
To steal.
It's biblical. It's
all of them is bold, but I will say we have several neighbors down. They've got a Bramley apple tree, and those things sell for like 50p a pop.
Okay.
So I look at them sometimes, like how, and I know nobody's picking them either. And I'm like, I don't even know where I'd sell them. Like I haven't thought that far ahead, but I'm like,
just send them to a
farmer's market.
The guy
or
in New York.
Mr. Tiffany.
I've got some macro. Rather than just going like, oh, I could make it crumble. Like, yeah. You're like, I'd probably turn this into a business. So I'll steal all of them.
Oh, could you have a crumble? I want to monetize it.
When's the last time you had a crumble?
Ooh, a month ago, I'd say.
I literally have apple crumble in my fridge right now.
But where did you get those apples?
I bought them myself. But they were Fuji's.
I think it's a teenager, it must be the teenager. Like,
It's just
okay, we're putting it on the teenager. Go on.
Teenager. When you think about, like, what are the things that teenagers really lust after? It's not necessarily beaches. If you have, like, a sort of a cocaine tree
You do stupid shit.
Yeah, and it's
especially
petty
in the country.
Victories. When you feel powerless, you're like, ah, fuck you, I stole a peach, though.
I stole an entire tin of black olives, like a giant tin of black olives, and I had nothing, no use for them.
Teenagers
I had no fridge.
Love peaches,
but just to do
like,
it.
All day they're on their phones looking at peach content.
Yeah,
just scrolling.
There's no way it's not a kid.
Oh,
they're mad for it. They're insane.
I mean, I don't want to get cocky, but I think we solved it.
It's an ass in real life. It's an ass tree. I'm telling you, horny teenager.
An ass tree.
Julia, I hope that's helped.
Did you say ash tree? No, an ass tree. Yeah.
Wow.
It's a butt fern.
We have solved another case. Thank you, Julia. I'm sure that was super helpful and you're really delighted how we handled that.
Sure
we have just enough time to ask Celia, what are you up to? Where can we find you?
I am going to the Edinburgh Fringe.
Ooh,
bravely nice. The first person to do so.
You're a pioneer.
I know. No one's ever thought I'm giving it a go. I'm doing my debut hour at 7:30 at the Attic. Whole month of August.
Great. What's
Very
it called?
Nice.
It is called Swimming.
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 Okay.
And I am also on Twitter and Instagram. Instagram if you want to see my face, Twitter if you want to hear my jokes.
Nice.
And I
don't
find out,
get them confused.
There's a ratio to find out if you're hot or funny. And it's it's about knowing like how much hotter, like I'm twice as funny as I am hot is what I've learned from my followers. Interesting to know the ratio.
The stats, yeah.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
We have almost exactly the same on both. So
oh, fantastic.
I don't know whether we're either both funny and hot or not funny and not hot. So it's
I think you smashed it. Absolutely smashed it. So it's AB Celia on both.
And then your Facebook followers tells you how old you are.
Yeah. I have so many people that follow my page on Facebook but don't like it. And it's like, what do you want?
Yeah.
It's weird, isn't it?
What are you waiting for?
What do you want?
It's weird that that's a separate option as well. Like,
I'll follow, but I hate it.
I know, that's Facebook trying to be all like, you can follow, hit follow.
Wow. Thank you very much for joining us, Celia.
Thank you. That was great fun. Drunk Women Solving Crime is produced by Amanda Redman. Music by The Lion and the Wolf. If you would like to, you can follow us on Drunk Women Pod on Twitter. On Facebook and Insta, we are Drunk Women Solving Crime. And please review us on Apple Podcasts. And also, if you have a crime that you would like us to solve, write it on a review on Apple Podcasts as well. Thank you to Acast, and thank you for listening. Bye!
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.